One thing I love about the stories you hear each week on the show is that every brand starts with a story. Behind every product is the founder who took a chance on an idea, overcame challenges, and worked hard to bring it to life. Walmart is making it easier for customers to discover products from small brands and support the people behind them. With thousands of small brands available through Walmart, customers can discover innovative products while learning about the entrepreneurs and stories that brought them to life. By helping connect these brands with communities across the country, Walmart is creating more opportunities for founders to grow and share what makes their products unique. Visit walmart.com to learn more.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to another episode of Gamertag Radio. We're celebrating our 20th year. All this year, we're going to be celebrating releasing GTR retro content, interviews, previews, hands-on, discussions, debates, and much, much more. This is your host, Danny Pena. And also joining me here is Rihanna Emanuel Pena.
Hello out there. Yeah, thank you for having me back on. It's been a minute.
But this one is a special episode because we're going to be previewing South of Midnight, which is one of the most anticipated games I've been waiting for to play this year. I have a couple other ones too, but it's up there for me. Is it the same for you?
Oh, for sure. I know we first saw this a while back, and all we had was this kind of like a mood for what South of Midnight ended up becoming. And, you know, we saw stop motion, sort of like low frame animation. We saw sort of handcrafted characters. We had this really cool sort of spooky, haunted vibe and, you know, some really nice moody music and in a swamp area. And we're like, ooh, what's that going to be? And what we've ended up previewing is everything I could have imagined and more. So, yeah, I'm even more excited to experience the full game after playing through this preview.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about it. So for those that don't know, this is from Compulsion Games. I think it was a couple years back, Xbox acquired the studio. I know they released a game during that time when the company got acquired.
Was that We Happy Few or was that a different one?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. It was a decent game. This one plays very different than that one, actually.
Yes.
And we're definitely going to be talking about that. So this preview is an hour-long preview, like 50 minutes or so. And we played Chapter 3 from the preview. So I had a great time playing it. I took my time exploring, trying to figure out the game mechanics, the control and all that. And also the music, which I was enjoying it a lot. Sometimes I would just stop and just listen to the music and just play in the background. Yeah. It was really, really cool. But yeah, Reed, let's talk about your experience, because you got to play it first than me, and I told you don't say anything. I want to be surprised because I'm very excited to play this game. So how was your experience playing this for the first time? And also for those that don't know, tell us a little bit about the main character that you play.
Yeah, so I don't have the synopsis in front of me, but I know you're playing as a character, Hazel, who is a young woman, lives in the Louisiana Bayou sort of area. And she is, as you know, we've seen in sort of preview stuff that has come out from Xbox, like during their developer direct, she and her mom are packing up their house and preparing for an oncoming storm. And in a series of unfortunate events, her mom and the house are swept away. And, you know, she's called on this adventure to go rescue her mom. And along the way, learns that she's sort of next in line for this magical inheritance of the power of a weaver. And she has the ability to manipulate the threads of the world around her to, you know, explore the past, to, you know, call on these special abilities, and to ultimately, like, heal the wounds of the world. And it sounds very mystical and fantastical, but practically, when you're playing through the game as Hazel, she feels like a real person, which is so interesting, right? Like, it's such a difficult thing to pull off when you're in a sort of real world setting, but, you know, there are all these fantasy and mystical elements. For it to still feel grounded is really impressive, and it does. Like, from everything, and I won't get into any details yet because I know we have more to talk about, but from everything from the voice work to the writing to even just what the characters' motivations and experience and histories are, they feel like real people. And I think that was really impressive that they were able to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a moment for me in the game where I was exploring, getting ready to go to like a different area, and this music popped up out of nowhere. It happened twice during the preview demo that it gave me goosebumps. And it's not only that, but a combination of like the voice acting, the music, the world, which reminded me a lot of like the South, especially if you live like in the New Orleans, Louisiana area around there.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It feels real. And I know you talked about the storm, but it's actually a hurricane that's actually coming.
A really big storm.
A really, really big one. But yeah, you're right. It felt like real people. And one of the things that I noticed, and this is like a couple times I've already seen on Twitter where people got emotional playing this. They didn't say what it is, but I knew, like, okay, I know exactly what they're talking about. And I think it's because it feels so real while playing this game that I can understand where people are coming from.
Yeah, and to that point, like we're gonna try to be spoiler free. I don't think we're restricted from talking about the story of what we played, but just so people can experience it for themselves, we won't get into too much detail.
Agree.
Because it's really beautiful to uncover as you play. But essentially, you meet a handful of characters, and you're sort of working through some of their past and their history and figuring out, you know, what it is that needs to heal in the world in order for you and the characters to move on. And I'm trying to be so vague, you guys. This is really hard.
It is hard.
In discovering what's happened in these characters' past, there's so much pain and trauma and heartbreak and betrayal. And it all sort of crescendos and culminates into, you know, this big set piece moment, which is absolutely beautiful. And you're playing through it actively. And as Danny mentioned, like, the music comes in, and the lyrics of the song that you're hearing as you're playing through the section are retelling the story of what happened from a different character's perspective. And you're like, oh, whoa, that's what was going on? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's so dark and so painful. And oh, my, like, these people need so much love. And as you're playing through the game, you're experiencing all of this, and it is very, very touching emotionally, and I don't want to say triggering or painful, but it's just very resonant. And, you know, if you're in any kind of headspace to be open to, you know, your heart really connecting with something, it's probably going to pull at those strings, and it may get a couple tears out of you. I didn't cry, but I did tear up, and I at a certain point in this set piece, I was like, oh, that's messed up. Like, as you're hearing, you know, these stories and what these characters have gone through. And, you know, at the end, it is very satisfying because, again, the whole point of a weaver's role is that they're healing all of these wounds for people. So it doesn't just leave you in the dark like some games tend to do. I don't like playing those types of games where I just feel sad and depressed at the end of it. It leaves it on a hopeful tone, which I really appreciate and need right now with what I'm dealing with personally. And I found the whole experience very cathartic. And just so beautifully told. Like you said, Danny, the music combined with the animation style, combined with all of the writing and the acting, it was just really, really moving. And yeah, I, like, obviously we've played through a quote-unquote chapter or level or what have you. I'm looking forward to playing through that exact section again, even though I already know what happens, because it's like rewatching a scene in a movie that really got you. You know, you want to go back to it over and over again. And what we can talk a little bit more about, like, the combat and, like, the nuts and bolts of this, but truthfully, just the overall experience, I turned the combat level down a tick because I just wanted to play. Like, I didn't want to have to struggle. But it was actually still pretty challenging. Like, it required me to learn and adapt and to get a couple of combos down in order to really be effective. And, you know, I thought that made the overall experience even better as well.
Yeah, and I think the reason why we probably felt that way is because we went straight to chapter 3. So, like, usually when you play a game, you get used to the combat, you get to learn the gaming mechanics, but we just got thrown to chapter 3, so we had to, like, get used to it right away, you know? So I totally get where you're coming from. Cause yeah, at first for me, I think it took me a while to get used to the gaming mechanics, but once I figure it out, like, okay, now I know the combos, what to do. And also, when you killed an enemy, you also could get, like, some health, like, it will help you heal up your character.
So yeah, that depends on, and there's some RPG mechanics, like you're saying, that depends on what you unlock as different, like, upgrades in your skill tree. So when I say I turned down the combat, that's what I did. I made it so that anytime I eliminate an enemy, I get some health back, and all the enemies kind of get push back a little bit and gives me some breathing room. So if you need to play that way, there's ways to make that a little bit more accessible for you.
Yeah, but don't think it's easy just because of that. It's not easy. And also, you know, when you go to this level, it feels like it's really big. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I was, like, exploring, going to different areas, was because I wanted to find, like, collector's items, health. Yeah. I was trying to find, like, different things that will help you, you know, part of your journey and everything. But if you do get lost, there's also a feature where you press, I think, is it the left analog stick or the right? One of the two, where it will show you, like, a path where to go.
I never used that.
I used that a lot because I was getting lost. I'm like, where to go?
Really? Like, oh, yeah. Oh, wow, that's interesting. So you know how, like, there's been recent conversation in games, whatever, about yellow being like, oh, yellow means I'm supposed to climb or step over here. Well, in this game, the color, at least in the preview we played, it was blue. And I was just following all the little blue stuff all over the world so that I could go collect the materials that you use to upgrade your skill tree. And so I was going off on all kinds of tangent and side paths and stuff. And every time I did, I was rewarded, right, with some upgrade materials, which was pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you knew about it because I figured it out. Yeah. And the reason why, because sometimes I felt like I was going back to the same area. I was like, wait, that's not the correct area. So I had to use that feature and it will tell me where to go. You know, so that helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting because I usually get very lost in open world games, but I felt like I knew exactly where I was supposed to go every time. And like I said, sort of like those side paths or like tangents always had like glowing blue stuff at the end of that path. And so I knew, oh, I go over here to get this material and then I could come back to the main quest.
Yeah, and there's also a part of the game where you go to an area. It shuts down, like, because there's going to be enemies coming in. And there's going to be all types of enemies where one of them is, there's, like, a nest. And from the nest, it looks like bees comes out.
Yeah, but like bees, flies, something like that.
Flies, yeah. But it actually stays next to you and then explodes. So it could get really annoying after a while. I'm like, yo, because I'm there fighting, you know, against another enemy. Then those bees comes up. So what I usually do is, first thing I do take out the nest. Once I take out the nest, I go, okay, now there's breathing room. I could, you know, fight other enemies and it's a little bit easier. But overall, it was so much fun. I feel like the music changes actually too when you fight the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a little dark, closes down. Very excited moment. And after that, you continue your journey. But every time you continue, like you killed an enemy, you hear the character Hazel saying like random stuff, like about what's happening at that moment, you know. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun going through that stage in the game.
Yeah, and I won't give too much away on this scene, but there was one moment where Hazel is still, you know, still coming upon all of this magical stuff, and she sees something that's like a little bit too out there, and she goes, nope. Oh. And I was like, that was so relatable. Which is so funny. Like she's such a grounded character. I really love what they've done with her.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's true too, Rick. Like when you watch a movie, you usually see a lot of black folks like, yeah, I think I'm gonna get out of here. And they'll like,
it's very Jordan Peele.
Very Jordan Peele. Very, very. So it was cool seeing that. Yeah, what else stood out to you about the game?
Yeah, I really like the way that they implemented the effects of the weaving. So there are several different powers, and forgive me, I don't have the right terminology for all of these, but there are different things that Hazel can do with her tools to either push stuff away or pull them. And I thought it was really cool how in combat, you know, you're either force pushing your enemies like into a corner so you can, you know, make sure you keep them cut off from getting around to the side of you and flanking you, or you could pull them to you to deal a really heavy blow right after that. Like I said, some of those combos for combat. But then in exploring the world and just sort of doing additional like platforming and environmental puzzles, you also use those powers for those challenges. So you may have a cart that you need to push or pull over to a ledge in order to access something. And I like when games give you a set of tools and you can use them in many different ways. And I think they did a really cool thing with that, because this world is really fun to explore. And I honestly wish there was even more. Like, there are a handful of homes that you kind of, like, walk through here and there as you're exploring this level, at least this level in Chapter 3. And sometimes when you walk past, let's say, a portrait of somebody, Hazel will be like, oh, I wonder if they did this and this. And you're like, oh, yeah, now I'm wondering, too. Like that those little reactions to clues of the story and the environment are always really fun, too. And so it's not just about what you learn during the action moments or the combat. It's like these little moments, too, when you're just exploring and walking around in the world. And I really appreciate when a game does that, because it gives me sort of permission to take a breath and to, you know, slow down a little bit more and not just rush through everything.
Yeah, I know there's a feature where you press LB when you see an area where it looks like it might be a wall or an item for you to jump over it, but you mm-hmm. can't, because you have to use that power LB. Once you use that, it will appear and you could either run through the wall, jump to the area. I also do the double jump.
Yeah,
and gliding. That was something.
The gliding is nice. The gliding and the wall runs were nice.
Yeah,
I love a good wall run. I think they did that really well.
It reminded me of like Apex Legends, mm-hmm. Titanfall, like that type of vibe. So yeah, it was really cool. Really, really cool. Really enjoyed that.
The OG Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia, yeah, yeah. And let me tell you, the last part of the game, of that chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it was intense, man. It was intense.
Yeah.
How was it for you? Because for me, I was like, because the music gets really intense, and I was just like, oh man, I hope I don't mess up. So I was like going straight to get to like to the. I'm not gonna say what it is, but I was trying to finish that part as soon as possible because. Wait, there's two moments. I'm not talking about the moment you're climbing up. I'm talking about the moment that you have to like escape.
That one. Okay.
Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah.
That was intense in the game. Woo.
I will say that one, I didn't even hesitate. Like you know how in everybody who's played a number of games will recognize this. You know how there's a moment where they're like, okay, now here's the running section where we're going to test all of your traversal skills back to back. Do you know how to glide? Do you know how to double jump? Can you wall run and land on something successfully? And I wasn't thinking about any of that. I forgot all of the abilities. I was just like, nope, I gotta get away right now. And so Danny, some of the sections, I just straight up glided past them because I was just like, I just gotta get out of here.
Yeah, whatever you gotta do.
It was so funny, but like they definitely cranked up the intensity for sure. And there were a handful of moments where I felt like I was, you know how you're watching like a scary movie? I don't do this, but some people do. And there's a moment where the character you're following is running away from whatever danger, stalker, killer thing. And they're like running. And they stop and they look back and you're like, why are you looking back? Like, run. Like, what are you doing? I had so many moments where I was like, I kind of want to stop and look back. And see if this thing is still chasing me or like what it looks like, because like the unknown of it is so scary. Like, I just want to check on it, like just to make sure it's still scary and it's still behind me. But yeah, I thought that section was really well done, and it was a little long. Like, it was way longer than I expected it to be. Did you fail at any point on that one?
Oh no, that one no. I think previously when I first started the game, I was like falling to, like
yeah.
In certain areas, I was like, okay, I can't jump to that part of the water, because I thought you could just run towards it.
Yeah, you're just like testing out what the rules are.
Yeah. I was like, okay, where I could go and all that stuff. I was just experimenting. I'm like, okay, this is not good. I'm dying a lot, and I'm capturing video. I'm like, this is not good.
You know? The other thing, though, so, I noticed, and this may not be in the final build, but every time you do die, you come back with a little less health, and you have to find more health in the world to like repair yourself.
Well,
unless
you
have
fall.
The constant health regeneration.
You mean when you fall?
Yeah. So yeah, if you fall during platforming and you started off with full health, when you're revived, which is through a really beautiful animation that kind of looks like a spider's web is dropping you back off to the ground. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. When you respawn, your health bar is ticked down a little bit, like you got hurt.
I mean, I'm okay with that because that is part of the game. You messed up, so of course, if
your health I didn't is full, say it as a complaint. Yeah. I'm just saying I think it's cool that they made that choice because you know there's a consequence to just completely flopping off the side of the world over and over again.
Yeah, I think overall playing Chapter 3, South of Midnight, man, it got me so curious about like the story.
Oh my gosh, yes. This is top of my list now.
Yeah, I want to learn more about the lore, about the characters, about the story. It's just like, man. And what else are we going to get to experience later on with when it comes to like the music, the new game mechanics you're going to get unlocked later? Because you could also upgrade, I believe, your abilities later in the game.
Yeah, so, those are skill tree.
Skill tree, yeah. So it's, man, this demo alone got me excited even more, because I know we got to see like a trailer and a little bit about behind the scenes with the devs and the voice actors, but now playing it and experiencing it, oh my god.
Yeah, this is one of those previews that like it takes me back to the days of demo disc where I'm like, I wish everybody got a chance to play this preview to see how cool and special this game is, because it's now like I will consider it a must play.
I'll tell you this, and I'm going to compare. So this reminded me of, and this is me as a gamer, of me experiencing games from the past. When you talk about demo disc or just a demo overall, it felt like playing Final Fantasy VII, the demo disc for the first time, or the first BioShock demo that I played back then for the first time before the game came out. They got me super excited about the actual game. That's the feeling I got while playing South of Midnight for the first time. Those moments I'm like, oh man, that we're going to be talking about it years from now. Man, do you remember playing the preview of South of Midnight? Like how good it was, and they got us even more excited about the game? Like that's the vibe that I got and that I experienced playing South of Midnight for the first time for me.
Yeah, no, it was a really good vibe. I'm really grateful to Xbox for giving us the opportunity to play through the section of the game before it comes out, because it really does give a much clearer vision of what we're in for. And it's like a Life is Strange, right? Like, I'm ready for feels. I'm ready for the really interesting characters. And it was such a beautiful world. It's unlike anything I've seen in a game. And the music is just on another level in the way that it's helping to tell the story. And yeah, like, I just want to read more. Like, I just want to know more of the story.
Yeah, are you a fan of True Blood? Have you played?
Yeah, actually, I am. So I don't do scary stuff, but I like vampires and werewolves.
Yeah, it just reminded me of that vibe.
Yeah, that Southern Gothic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's, oh man, if you're a fan of True Blood, you're definitely going to love this one too,
I will say it's not scary, though. Like, I wouldn't say it's scary. Is horror in any way.
No, but I mean, like, I'm talking about more of, like, the culture of yeah. like, being in the South and, like, that's the type of vibe I'm talking about, you know? So. It's cool. So I just want to say thanks to Xbox for giving us the opportunity to play South of Midnight early. And also, make sure to check out our previous episodes where Paris also went to Compulsion Games and interviewed the dev team and also the voice actors that are part of the game. It's a very great, great content, great podcast. Make sure to go back to the episodes, preview episodes of Gamertag Radio. Anything else, Ree?
No, that's all. I can't wait to play this. And for anybody who has the fortune of being a Game Pass subscriber, you don't even have to go purchase it. You just install and play it. I believe you can install it now. It's like install it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. So you can play it day pre-install, one. Pre-installed.
Yeah, pre-install.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. Like I said, we're celebrating 20 years of GTR. Make sure to check out our GTR retro episodes. We go back to the archives of like old episodes and in the future, actually in a week or so, actually a couple of days after this this episode, I'm gonna be releasing the very first episode of GTR with my brother Nano. I had to do some heavy editing because at that time we were just putting music in there while talking. So because of copyright issues, I had to use a plugin where it will remove as much as possible the music in the background and you get to hear us more. So it's a very interesting episode to listen to, but just want to say that very quick, man. All right, guys, thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Take care.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.